All right, Wednesday night, 9:09, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to the chat. I'm going to go till, here it is, the prediction for timing tonight. I'm going to go till 10:10. 10:10, 1 hour and 1 minute from right now, we'll be done. 1 hour and 1 minute from right now, you can go ahead and put your bets in on the chat if you'd like. Already got Will Gilbert put down 10:23. 7-Eleven gasoline hits different. You got to shorten up that name, Creighton. 10:10. Veronica 18201 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Kep Guy 1 is on. Aphrodites is on. Lisa Kinzer 11:19:60 is on. Scott Allott is on. Scott Allott's got 10:23. What's up with 10:23 with you people? Tammy L. Margaret has got 10:23. Alpha Acres 10:17. Nitsu 99 is on. Christopher Arnott's got 10:31. Hansel Donovan 10:30. Laura Jean Lynn 10:22. Nobody believes in me. Dana 59 10:14. Why not me? 10:20. Correction 10:20. I think he's putting C correction. D 9597 10:21. Hark Marvy is on. Joe Heathen is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Gianna Jones is on. Bird Nerd, highest one so far, 10:37 has been done. Becklin 60 is on. La Picket Fence has got 10:20. R Major 79 is on. Petrock 68 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Big Scott is on. Black Bart 201 is on. Aphrodites 10:14. Scott Allott, I think you've changed your Scott to 10:33. Horror Hotel 10:16. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Man, everybody's put their numbers on. Holy moly, look at all these people. Mara Z's got record 10:01. Confederate one goes the other way at 11 o'clock. All right, we'll see. All right, here we go. 9:11. So I've only got 59 minutes to go. Everybody's done. We're done. There you go. Just a couple things off the pregame here, which is usually what throws me off, is me rambling on and on about the pregame. But I can't help it. One of the things that Tim Walz said in the debate last night, which I found to be incredibly contradictory, was he said that Trump should have gone to China to learn how horrible Xi Jinping was. That's basically what he said. You know, he said something about that he shouldn't have followed Xi Jinping's example with COVID. Then why on earth, if China is so horrible, then why did he honeymoon there? If Trump should have gone to China, see this, these people will just say anything, even if it's completely and totally nonsensical in comparison to how they live. He says Trump should go there to learn how horrible Xi Jinping is there, and Tim Walz honeymooned there. Tim Walz has gone at least 30 times to China, has gone 30 trips to China, and yet Trump should go there to learn how horrible it is. If it's so horrible, I can tell you flat out, if I'm thinking that a country's horrible, I'm not scheduling a vacation, and especially I would not be scheduling my honeymoon there if I thought the country was horrible. Hey, honey, where do you want to go for a honeymoon? The worst place on earth? I mean, these people, what they say is completely nonsensical. Really, is they'll say anything to get through a moment. Just like this whole, well, I thought you said that you were in Hong Kong in April, but it turned out you weren't even during the Tiananmen Square protests where people got run over by tanks. And Tim, of course, the stolen valor guy who said he carried weapons of warfare, said he was standing on Bagram Air Force Base watching American dead bodies be loaded up, said that he was part of the Iraqi, I can't remember the different titles now. First Gulf War, Second Gulf War, the titles of those, forgot them. But anyway, said that he was part of the Second Gulf War title, and he said that he was part of that effort, but never left Italy. The guy talk about a glory hound, a stolen valor hound, and he just does the same thing with Tiananmen Square. We had all these incredibly courageous protesters standing up against the PLA and the CCP. And Tim Walz was in America and claiming that he was in Hong Kong at the time of these protests. And by the way, why would you claim to be in Hong Kong? Because at that time, Hong Kong was its own sovereign state. It wasn't even part of China. What an idiot. I mean, I was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square protests. Who cares? I mean, honestly, that'd be like me saying, I was in downtown Baltimore during the Vietnam War. Who cares? Okay, you're in Baltimore during the Vietnam War. You're in Hong Kong? Okay, how far is Hong Kong away from Tiananmen Square, you stupid idiot? That's what, see this guy, that was my critique of the debate last night. And listen, I'll tell you what. If you go by everybody else, I was wrong on the debate because everybody loved it. But me, I thought the first 50 minutes, huge win for Vance, huge win. And the second part of the debate, basically just sort of a nominal tie when both candidates pretty much said nothing until Vance's closing remarks. His closing remarks were absolutely fantastic. But I felt like somebody called off the dog. Somebody made like a call to J.D. Vance and said, listen, we don't want you to smash him into oblivion because we're trying to win this certain segment of voters. So they don't really want, let's just say, you know, an Alex Jones up there. We want you to tone it down because we're going to try to get these middle-of-the-road voters. That seemed to be kind of what he did. Don't agree with the tactic, but you know what? According to what I've seen online, and I spent hours and hours and hours on Twitter looking at everybody's responses, everybody loved it. I mean, loved J.D. Vance. He definitely was the more presidential. I mean, really, Tim Walz, and I don't know how to describe it any better than this, and I don't mean that he's some sort of criminal, but he comes across as sort of just a fraudulent grandpa-ish, not quite grandpa, but like an older uncle, but listing towards Herbert the pervert. You know what I'm saying? He's like this grand, but you know there's like the dark side to the guy.
Yes.
You know, he's one of the, Aaron, give us like 5 seconds. Give us like 5 seconds, Herbert the pervert.
I don't know. I just was wanting to tell you that you should vote for me and Kamala because we got popsicles down in our cellars. Just in case you want to come, you know what I mean?
There you go. There's Herbert the pervert. But anyway, so he just strikes me as being incredibly fraudulent. And J.D. Vance is J.D. Vance. Trump is Trump. And that's it. And J.D. Vance appeared to be extremely extremely presidential. And Tim Walz appeared to be like a small-town mayor with a dark side. That's really how he appeared to me. He'd be a small-town mayor with a dark side. And just one other thing on it. And I didn't talk about this too much last night. Two other things. You had Jake Tapper making an excuse saying that Walz has far less public speaking experience than J.D. Vance. Am I not mistaken? Or is J.D. Vance a first-term senator? I mean, J.D. Vance is 40 years old on the money, and he's a first-term senator. He was in the Marine Corps. He's a lawyer, so he spent all this time in school in the military. Where was all this public speaking experience? Tim Walz was a congressman and is now the twice elected governor of Minnesota. I believe it's twice elected, at least once elected. And he was a congressman for 12 years. He campaigned for at least six campaigns as a congressman. I'm not talking about state Congress. I'm talking about national Congress. He was in the 435 members of Congress. He was one of them for 12 years. And Jake Tapper says that J.D. Vance is far more experienced in public speaking. Where? How? First of all, Tim Walz is 20 years older than he is and has far more political experience. And that's one of the other things that Jake Tapper said, too. Again, because if you're going to have a Hitler, if you're going to have a Mussolini, then you have to have a Goebbels. You have to have a Pravda media. You have to have a Mockingbird media. You have to have it. That's what Jake Tapper's trying to make excuses for Tim Walz. He doesn't have the experience of J.D. Vance. What experience? Listen, here's the experience. J.D. Vance is far smarter. And everything that they said about J.D. Vance, including Jake Tapper, was completely, totally wrong. If anybody appeared to be Herbert the pervert weird, it was Tim Walz. Certainly not J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, looking in the camera, steel-eyed, good-looking guy, 6 feet something tall, very articulate, blew Walz out of the water for the first 50 minutes of that debate. And it was sort of a nominal slight win by J.D. Vance for the rest of it, and then a crushing win at the end with his closing remarks. And the last thing on it was, I just didn't talk much about this last night, but when they cut the mics off, that shows you, if you're going to have a Hitler, you got to have a Goebbels. They're banning speech. It's so funny because J.D. Vance was attacking Tim Walz, and rightfully so, about the Biden administration's banning speech on social media, and of which Mark Zuckerberg has confessed to and apologized for now, and they still deny it. And he still, of course, Tim Walz wouldn't talk about it. And right in the middle of that, they cut off the mics before that montage, but basically they exemplified the banning of speech by when do you shut off? When do you have the right, as Nora O'Donnell, when do you have the right to shut a vice presidential candidate's mic off? And again, these are the things that I've never seen before. And I'm going to show you some other ones. Let's listen to Hurricane Helene. And basically, you look at everything that Kamala Harris does, she's reading off, and then we're going to cover Israel. Everything that she does, and this is the list of things that I've never seen before. And I honestly remember presidents all the way back to Carter. I remember all the way back. I was born in 1968. I remember the presidency of Jimmy Carter. I remember it. And I remember Ronald Reagan. I can go right up the list. And you had George Herbert Walker Bush. Then you had Bill Clinton. Then you had George W. Bush. Then you had Hussein Obama. Then you had Trump. And now you have President Pudding Pop in the White House. So anyway, I remember them all. And I've never seen any representative of any president from any party ever reading off a card. I'm talking about at pressers. Ever reading off a card ever. Until the Biden administration, where Joe Biden reads off of either a teleprompter or a pre-prepared laminated card every time he speaks. Kamala Harris is now finally has arrived today, 10/2/24, as you'll see on the first slide here, has finally arrived in Augusta, Georgia. Finally has arrived in Georgia for a bunch of staged ops. Now, of course, the storm blew through. Believe me, we know here. The storm hit Georgia last Thursday. Like Tom knows, Friday. Last Thursday, that's when it hit Georgia, because it blew through the panhandle. It was a Category 1 storm in Georgia on Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and finally on day 7, she shows up. And nobody else is there either. FEMA's on the ground but doing nothing. And I don't want to jump too far ahead of it because I have a million slides on this. But anyway, Trump War Room video, Kamala finally realizes, this is Trump War Room commentary, finally realizes there's a crisis and follows Donald Trump to Georgia, hauls the press into a stage briefing so they can capture her at the head of the table, and then kicks the press out before she starts talking. Play for me, Will.
Thank you all. Mayor, I am now listening.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. Thank you for the press for joining us, and now we will excuse you from the room so we can get down to
business. Okay, everybody, thank you very much. Head back this way, please.
And there's the other first. Never in my life have I ever seen an administration never answer questions. But I mean, I've never seen it where presidents just so wantonly and vice presidents so wantonly, figuratively or literally, turn their back on the press and ignore all their questions. I've never seen it. I can remember all the way back to President Carter pressers, Reagan pressers, Herbert Walker Bush pressers, Clinton pressers, W pressers, Obama pressers. Even Obama, can't stand the guy. Was formerly, you had the worst president in history was Carter. Then Obama came in and defeated Carter as the worst president in history. Then Biden came in a short 4 years and defeated Obama as the worst president in history. But even in the midst of all those other wretched, horrible presidencies, including the Clinton administration, they at least interacted with reporters. They just ignored them and kicked them out of the room. Oh, remember, you see the rhetoric every time. All right, time to go, everybody. You can't ask any questions of your betters, of the bourgeois leftist elitist betters. You can't ask questions. Isn't that the purpose of the media, is to ask questions? So here's her stage propaganda, Gunther Eagleman video, right in North Carolina. Look how staged it is. She's walking next to this guy, and they don't even talk to each other. They wait for the cameras to click on, and then she starts to walk in an area that makes no sense for her to even be in. Play for me, Will. I mean, let's compare the videos between Kamala Harris and Trump. Look at her. Walk now. Okay. Ready? Up. Okay. So she goes. And she's sitting here talking. Look, she's not even talking to the guy. Let's wait till she gets your stupid head out of the way, you dummy. I can't stand with people. So finally, they're not saying anything. Not saying anything. She's just nodding her head to nothing. What is she nodding her head to? Finally, he talks. They're not even saying anything. What is the purpose of her walking down a road with a bunch of pine needles on it? What's the point? You have Trump there handing out food. What did Trump bring? Dump trunks, gasoline trunks, food and provisions. What did Kamala Harris bring? So Donald Trump is a very rich man. Would we all agree?
Yeah.
He's a very rich man. Yep. Okay. Aaron agrees. He's a rich man. Worth about $8 billion. Well, he brought food, provisions, water, gasoline. Kamala Harris sits at the helm of $7 trillion budget. And FEMA's budget alone is, I don't care, remember, $20, $30 billion. And what does she bring? Nothing. She brought in 7 days later. What? I mean, again, if Will and Aaron and I hopped in Aaron's F-150 and we drove up there, we could be in this area right here in 10 hours. This is Augusta, Georgia. As a matter of fact, we could be in Augusta, Georgia in 7 hours. And it took Kamala Harris 7 days to get there. And now that she's there, this was, walk now. Where should I walk? Walk now. Now pretend you're talking to me. Pretend you're talking to me. Okay, I'm pretending. And she said, oh, thank you for pretending. Okay, I'm going to pretend some more. Okay, thank you for pretending some more. That's all she did. Absolutely nothing. All right, let's go to the next one. Benny Johnson video. Don't you worry. The typical federal government response is coming your way. Listen, all of you that no longer have a home, have no water, are dying right now because nobody's rescuing you and they're kicking out the civilian helicopters that are trying to rescue you. That's happening, by the way, which we'll get to. Because FEMA doesn't want anybody else to get any glory outside of them, even though they haven't been there for 7 days now and still aren't there. They're there. In position only. They're standing there. They're not doing anything, not rescuing anybody. And they're trying to kick everybody out who's actually doing things. But don't worry, the usual government response is coming. You may have no water system. You may have no home. You may have no food. You may have no water. You may have no business. But don't worry. Don't worry. Here's what Kamala's going to give you. Play for me, Will.
And the federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met.
Don't you worry. What is it with the government and the $600 to $700 response? What is it? I mean, again, we are $36 trillion in debt, 872 people watching that I can see. I don't know how many people are watching on Christian Television Network. $36 trillion in debt. And by the way, we set world record debt. Congratulations. I want everybody to know. We set world record debt today alone. I'm going to get to that in a minute. World record debt, like $260 billion today alone. Just so you know, that's where we're at under this idiot's leadership. So I don't know what it is with the $600 to $700 response. Like during COVID, we're shutting down your business. And you're in New York City. We're shutting down your business. And it costs you $12,000 a month in rent. You're like, Tom, nobody pays that much. Listen, I rented a church for $10,000 a month. I know what it's like. Okay, I get it. And then the next church that I rented was $5,000 to $6,000 a month. I get it. So here's the thing. These weren't church buildings. These were just, you know, buildings that we made into churches. But anyway, so you shut down somebody's business and their lease payment every month is $12,000. But don't you worry, the government's going to give you $600 a month. Or they're going to give you a one-time payment of $600. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Because the $700 payment was exactly what they gave to everybody in Maui whose house is burned to the ground. Remember in Maui where they had the windstorm come in and strangely this fire lit and they turned off all the water and made everybody stay in the burning city? Remember they had the police redirecting people back into the flames? And for some reason didn't turn the water on and then offered everybody $700. Well, same thing here. You may have no house. You may have no water. You may have no job. You may have no business. But don't you worry. The country that's $36 trillion in debt and she's a multi-millionaire just got caught wearing a $62,000 necklace to the border at her latest border, at her one and only true border visit. But and here's the thing. Look at it right now. Why do you have to read this off a teleprompter? Why are you reading this off a teleprompter? Look at her. Literally, folks, all she's saying is everybody's going to get a $750 payment from FEMA for those most in need. You can't just say that. I'm just saying it off the top of my head right now. Everybody in North Carolina, everybody in Georgia, everybody in Tennessee who's in dire need, you're going to get $750 from FEMA. I just said it. She has to read it off of a prepared sheet. I'm telling you, these people are so out of their league and so out of their element and so out of the realm of their own IQ. These are stupid human beings. She is a stupid person. And offering $700, so basically, they're giving you $100 a day since she's responded. $100 a day since the hurricane hit. The 7 days that she wasn't there until finally today, she shows up, finally shows up. And where, by the way, the president of the United States still hasn't shown up. And Trump, when he actually shows up, is there. Isn't it weird? $700? What the crap is that going to do? And you know, she must not know the fruits of her own economy, because $700 is 2 weeks worth of groceries. Maybe, depending on the size of your family. Everybody knows that. 919 people that are watching right now, and I don't know how many watch on a Christian television network. We all know what our grocery bill is. And $750, what's that going to do? These people live up in the mountains. Their entire reverse osmosis water plant is gone. That's $10,000 gone. And I'm not saying the government should come in and pay for every last thing. But you know what? There's a reason why we pay taxes. The reason why, and I love the way, I think it was Bongino. I'm not sure. It was. I love the way Bongino put this today on the show. We've been paying taxes to idiots like this. She lives in a mansion called the Naval Observatory. A bourgeois leftist, everyone, 30, 40 member staff for this idiot. I mean, you're talking about to pay for this moron to have a job for a year is $30, $40 million for that. That's not counting her travel expenses. $30, $40 million for this idiot to have a job. And she comes in and offers everybody in Appalachia $700. Hey, you know what? No problem at all. I know you have no life, no house, no roads, but you know, and there's no, and what do you, what, and by the way, everybody who would be a recipient of the $700 is still stuck in the mountains. So how are they going to deliver the $700? They're going to deliver it with the helicopters that you won't allow to fly in? Out of their element, out of their league. She's so stupid. She can't read. She can't think of five words in her head without reading it off of a teleprompter or off a prepared sheet. All right, Bo Loudon video. CNN just submitted rightful President Trump is being treated as the president by the hurricane victims. Play for me, Will.
He is being treated not just as a former president, but almost as though he is a sitting president. As Boris, you just noted, getting a briefing from FEMA, getting a briefing from the National Guard. That is not something that is typically just offered to a candidate. They are treating him as though he is a former president who is there to help. And one thing that I had noticed earlier during our 1 p.m. conversation was that Donald Trump did not have that much to offer in terms of resources since he is not a sitting president. But I will note that he and the campaign say that they have arrived in that area with trucks full of supplies that they plan on giving out. So there is something there for them to offer. He also said that he had a tanker truck full of gasoline, which obviously, if you've ever covered one of these storms, you understand that one of the first things and hardest things to come by is gasoline. So he said that he was going to be giving that out. He is clearly taking this seriously, as a politician is on the ground trying to show that he is there in support of the people on the ground.
Yeah, Trump's there on day two. Kamala's there on day seven. Trump comes with a gasoline truck and supplies. And gasoline is incredibly important. If you've ever been stuck in a hurricane situation, which all of us in this room have been, and your power's out, you got nothing. Gasoline's everything, because guess what you need gasoline for? To run your generators, to keep all your appliances going, so you don't lose every ounce of food that you have. Donald Trump comes with a gasoline truck and supplies for everyone. Kamala Harris comes with a $7 trillion budget and nothing. But don't worry, she does a staged photo op and walks down a deserted road. Thank you so much. That's just so beneficial. Look at this one. Hodge Twins tweet. That's hard to say. Hodge Twins tweet. The feds are confiscating donations in Tennessee. I don't know if you guys can read the bottom or not, but I'm going to read it to you. I can see it. Red Cross and FEMA. FEMA and TEMA. TEMA is the FEMA of Tennessee. So when you hear TEMA, it's the FEMA of Tennessee. Thank you, Aaron. That's perfect. FEMA has arrived, and all donations that have been given to local high school volunteers have been confiscated.
Wow.
How do you even pull that off? I'm wondering, is that at gunpoint? I was going to say about Dan Bongino. You and I pay into this government that's $36 trillion in debt. We pay our taxes somewhere between 20 and 40% of our money every year goes to them at gunpoint, because if you don't pay it, you go to jail. And now they don't have enough money. They have to confiscate donations given to local high school volunteers. Starting with Davy Crockett High School, they are taking over all volunteer schools. Oh, the people doing nothing are taking over for the people that are doing everything. The people that are actually doing things and what they're doing, not only you'd be like, well, maybe it's okay if they came in and did a better job than the volunteers on the ground. No, they're coming in and doing nothing and making everybody else do nothing and taking their money. That's the government. That is, you're like, Tommy, you're just a right-wing zealot. No, that is the government. That's the truth. That's every witness. Show me the witnesses. Go ahead. Show them to me. Send them to me. There, right there. Send them to me. Show me anybody in Appalachian. By that, I mean Appalachian Trail, Appalachian Mountain area, which is basically Asheville down to Atlanta, up to the eastern part of Tennessee. That old mountain range right there, that's what's been devastated. You send me one video of a positive response. Send me one positive response to FEMA's response to the hurricane scene. Send me one positive response from anybody to the governmental efforts in that area. Show me. Send them to me. I will play it right now. You send it to Aaron, I'll play it right now. There is not one. I have looked. There's nothing. There is not one person in Tennessee, Georgia, or Georgia that or North Carolina. You will not find one positive response to the government's efforts in those areas. Not one. They just showed up. And they just showed up, and they're still doing nothing, and they're shutting down the people who are doing things and making them do nothing and stealing their money. In order for everyone to get donations that was given, they must be approved. Oh, you have to be approved now by our betters. We don't have betters. We don't. This is all the idiots that caved, all the Christian idiots that caved to COVID under Romans 13. You're a dummy. You're a dum-dum. We don't have a ruling authority. We have a contract. We have a document that we've all agreed upon called the Constitution of the United States of America. And we all have agreed to. You're like, what do you mean we agreed? It's just like when they say that guns go around and kill people. No, the Constitution can't rule either by itself. Just like a gun can't kill by itself. We agree to be ruled, so to speak, by the Constitution. All monetary donations have been taken as well as and placed into TEMA account. If you are unaware of how that works, those items don't all get used for this particular disaster. So they're collecting money to use on other disasters and to pay themselves glorious huge salaries. Volunteers have been asked to leave. Why would you ask a volunteer to leave? You know when Ronnie Howard Brown came down here and rescued us after Hurricane Ian, he brought 100 people here and a foreman. You know how many of them I asked to leave? Zero. Zero. Not one did I ask to leave. They were here for a couple days. I didn't ask them to leave at all. Zero. Why would you ask volunteers to leave? Why? It's almost as if you don't want to rescue people. Could that be? Could that be the case that you don't want to rescue people? Is it that the conspiracy theories are true? That there's vast lithium reserves in these areas that people want to push a climate ideology would love to get a hold of? Just like the real estate in Maui that's still burnt to the ground. How long's it been now? Still burnt to the ground. There's no rebuilding going on there. Nothing. Just confiscations of property. Please, I know I already made a post. This is from Alicia Schubert. Please, I know I already made a post on Red Cross and FEMA the other day. Please, if you donate to a church or give to individuals. They cannot take supplies from churches. Church members will make sure your donations get into the correct hands. We are still taking donations here as well as picking up donations this weekend. Our donations will be going directly to churches for them to help the communities. We have to find out what it is because we'll make a donation from here, from Foundation Church. I know several others, but I'm not giving it to FEMA or TEMA.
Right.
So Joe Biden can go traveling off so they can build another migrant welcome center. We'll get to that in a minute. If you're wondering where how FEMA's broke, which we'll get to in a minute, that's why. I'm not going to send money to FEMA or TEMA so that they can pay each other their giant salaries and go on vacations and go visit and go attend LGBTQ DEI conferences. No, thank you. I'm good. So that's what's happening on the ground. Go to the next one for me, Will. New York Post tweet, helicopter pilot threatened with arrest after flying rescue missions. No, we don't want you to rescue anybody. We don't want you to rescue anybody, right? We got to keep you from rescuing anybody. I believe this is the guy that rescued the 11-day-old baby. We don't want you to rescue people. We want to rescue them after they're dead. These people have been sitting there without water. You're like, Tom, it's a flood. It's contaminated poop water. They can't drink it. They're sitting there without water since Friday. And I'm being generous because they actually got hit, many of them, on either late Friday night or late Thursday night or early. I'm talking about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, Friday. I saw that. Everybody saw the storm. Everybody saw it. Went right past my, where we live. Went right up the coast. Nearly flooded all of us out. We get it. They've been sitting there with nothing. And FEMA's doing nothing. They're not orchestrating flights. And one helicopter pilot that I saw, that you go there, and there's 13, 14, 15 civilian helicopters flying around, and then one military helicopter. In the 82nd, I think it's the 82nd Airborne, whatever it is stationed, Aaron found out, 4 hours from there, which would be a half an hour helicopter flight.
Yeah.
In North Carolina, which is the world-renowned rescue team of thousands of soldiers and hundreds of machines and flying apparatuses, helicopters and jeeps and trucks and bulldozers sitting four hours away. Why does it take 7 days to get there? Oh, it didn't take 7 days to get there because they're not even on the way. What's there right now? A couple FEMA sedans and one or two military helicopters that are not conducting rescue missions. The civilians are all doing it. The civilians are all doing it. Ron DeSantis is doing it from Florida. Ron DeSantis is orchestrating it. The Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson of North Carolina, he's doing it, while Roy Cooper has his thumbs both shoved up his rectum, doing nothing. He sits there all day with his thumbs shoved up his rectum and bouncing up and down on him. That's what he's doing. News nothing all day long. Nothing. There's not a thing. Mark Robinson's doing it all. All right, go to the next one for me, Will. Alan Mashburn tweet, Mark Robinson has launched an air convoy running 24/7. Mark Robinson did it. It's all funded, by the way, by private funds. Why do we pay taxes? What's the point? Aaron, can you help me? Yeah, Will, can you help me? Can anybody help me? Why do we pay taxes? What's the point? Why? They're not even there, and the ones that are there are doing nothing and trying to orchestrate everybody else doing nothing. What's the point? Mark Robinson's doing it. Mark Robinson has launched an air convoy running 24/7. They are making airdrops and rescue missions in Western North Carolina. It's all privately funded. Why does FEMA have a multi tens of billion dollar budget? It's 30, 40, 50, 80 billion dollar FEMA budget. Why? What's the point? It's all privately funded. He's circumventing Roy Cooper. You have to get the Democrats out of the way if you want to save lives, because all Democrats want to do is take lives. All they want is for people to die. 100,000 people a year, fentanyl deaths. They love it. Kamala Harris has orchestrated it. 325,000 kids missing into thin air. Nobody has any idea where they are. They all cross through the southern border. Gone. Gone. All Democrats want is for people to die. 41.2 million abortions per year, according to UN statistics. So it's probably double that amount. That amount. They stay completely and totally silent with the Uyghur genocide in China. Nothing. They say nothing. They want people to die. And the only time that they ever come out against people dying is when they believe that somehow or another it's politically expedient for them. And they'll jump sides even on that subject. All right, let's go to the next one. America First Legal tweet. Misplaced priorities over the last 4 years. The Biden-Harris administration has steadily transformed FEMA, the agency responsible for responding to natural disasters like Hurricane Helene, into an illegal alien resettlement agency. That's what it is. That's what it is. I told you, the border security bill, all that crap, all that is, you could rename that the illegal alien resettlement bill. That's all it is. We're hiring 1,500 CPP agents right after we hire the 87,000 IRS agents. We're going to hire 1,500 CBP agents to do what? To facilitate illegals across the border, not stop them from crossing the border. So that's what they've turned it into. Is FEMA now, which is supposed to be an emergency response to natural disasters. No, none of the money goes there anymore. It goes into an illegal alien resettlement agency that emphasizes DEI over public policy. You can read the bottom. The program may also receive funding to award to the national board for redistribution to local social service organizations. That's what FEMA's for? To redistribute the funds that they get to social service organizations? How's that working out for the people stuck in the mountains in Appalachia? All right, now, no food, no water, the baby's dying. No insulin. Dad goes has an oxygen bottle. He's dying. How's that work? Don't worry. That money has been reallocated, like they want to defund the police. No, we don't call it defunding. They call it reallocating. Don't worry. That's been reallocated to social service organizations. That's doing really well for the people dying right now. But they don't care. They don't care about people dying. That's why they're always starting new wars, so that they can adhere to the demands of the military industrial complex and make themselves fat cats and richer and richer and richer and richer while people die. They don't care. All the middle class and the lower class soldiers go over there and die while the rich get richer. And they say that it's a Republican thing. It's far more of a Democrat thing, but there's also plenty of rhino Republicans participating in that global oligarchy, where The poor or the middle class die and die, die and die again while they sit there and they laugh and they watch and they profit off of the deaths. They don't care. Once you can slaughter a baby and pull a baby out of the womb piece by bloody piece, once you're Tim Walz and you actually legislate that a baby who survives an abortion has no right to be resuscitated or to be medically cared for, you're gone. You're a murderer. It's over. You have no soul. You might as well just go worship Satan, which many of them do anyway. So they reallocate a lot of those funds. They call it distribution to local social service organizations that provide humanitarian relief to families. Individuals, where at? We're at encountered by Department of Homeland Security. So they've reallocated millions or billions of dollars to those who are encountered by DHS. That's got nothing to do with Hurricane Helene. That's the border. That's the border. That this money, FEMA money, has been reallocated to make sure that the super special citizens are taken care of. And they're not even citizens. I should call them the super special individuals. How do you reach super special individual status here in the United States of America? Illegally cross our southern border, and you have super special status. Well, they will take the money meant for Americans to rescue them after tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and earthquakes. That money that's allocated to rescue Americans for the after natural disasters, that has now been reallocated to super special people called illegal migrants, who of which 15,000 of them are murderers, 13,000 of them are rapists. Joe Biden has allowed in 30,000 rapists and murders, 10,000 per year into the United States of America. And where the heck am I? All right, go to the next one. Well, therefore I am tweet. Breaking, Homeland Security, Mayorkas, FEMA doesn't have any money. FEMA doesn't have any money. Oh, I wonder why. Volodymyr Zelensky just left with $2.4 billion. I think that might, Aaron, you correct me if I'm wrong. Will, you correct me if I'm wrong. I think $2.4 billion would do pretty well in Appalachia right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? $2.4 billion? I think it would do well.
Absolutely.
That would help. You know, that I wish that they could come in and, you know, force the insurance company to pay for the damages that we've incurred, right? $2.4 billion would do pretty well. He just walked off with that. As part of the $177 billion that this dictator has gotten so far that they call a Democratic leader, U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, FEMA does not have the funds to make it through hurricane season. Oh, amazing. Aaron, see if you can find me FEMA's budget. I want to know what FEMA's budget is. I'd love to know what their budget is. They have no money. I wonder why. Oh, because Zelensky has it all. That's why. And by the way, it's not just Zelensky that has it all. All the super special individuals have it all. That's just super special SSIs. That's what they have. What do you got, Aaron?
$20
billion. $20 billion they have. $20 billion. And you know what? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to think of all the other disasters that have occurred in 2024. None. I'm adding them up right now. None. Not to this level. I mean, what are these other budgets? Where do they spend all this money? Going to their DEI conferences? Is that what they're doing? They spend, you know, $10,000 $10,000 a night on some suite somewhere in Las Vegas. Spend $10,000 in a suite in Lake Tahoe and have a conference. Is that where all the money went? I'd love to see where all that $20 billion, because here we are. And by the way, the fiscal year is running out right now, or it's already out, depending on where they started, because the fiscal year always starts in October. How are they out of money? They just got reallocated. They just got the CR passed. How are you out of money? What's happening? And even if you did, even if the CR hasn't paid for it yet, or even if the fiscal year hadn't started yet, the CR is about to pay for it all again. How are you out of money? How's that even possible? All right, go to the next one for me. 7 News San Diego. San Diego County Supervisors. Okay, $20 million for FEMA. FEMA? Federal Emergency Management Agency? For Migrant Welcome Center? More than 136,000 migrants have been released from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol custody in the county since September. That's last month, folks. Just 136,000 out of San Diego alone in a month. Is today the second?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a month. 136,000 out of San Diego alone. $20 million was spent on their welcome center. Hi, all illegal migrants. We have a welcome center for you. And now $20 million, I think $20 million would go a long way in Appalachia, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
$20 million? I think you get a lot of road clearing equipment there, bridge building equipment, get the temporary bridges built up, all those different things. I think you could easily get a bunch of military helicopters up there. Matter of fact, you could buy a bunch of helicopters for that. But that's where the money is. And now Alejandro Mayorkas says that they're broke. This is from this year. They spent $20 million on a welcome center for migrants out of FEMA. Shouldn't that come out of DHS? Directly out of DHS, not FEMA? FEMA gets its $20 billion budget itself, standing alone. Why is that being spent on DHS issues? And why in the world are we building a welcome center for criminals? Welcome to our, which I wonder how many of them that went through this $20 million welcome center were rapists and murderers. Of the 30,000 that we know of, This doesn't count the getaways. This is the 30,000 that they're admitting to. This is what they think is palatable for you and I. So again, according to CBP statistics, it's 1 to 5 times that many. So it's at least 60,000 rapists and murders that they've allowed into the country. 425,000 convicted criminals in only 3.5 years have been allowed into this country. Of that 425,000, 30,000 were rapists and murderers. I wonder how many of those went through this $20 million welcome center in San Diego. Probably quite a few, I would guess. Since it's very, you know, if you're going to be a rapist, and by the way, just so everybody knows, they didn't find out afterwards that they let in rapists and murderers. They knew at the border that the person was a convicted rapist and murderer and let them in anyway. This is our government. This is where we stand. This is the current status of the United States of America, which requires a great change. You know, Kamala Harris is advocating for change. Of course, that means if you're going to bring forth change, that means she has to go because she is the status quo. Adam Hughes' video, Mayorkas tells hurricane survivors who aren't getting support from FEMA, who feel Biden-Harris regime isn't doing enough, that they're wrong. Play for me.
Despite all the proactive things that the federal government did and its response, the sentiment, according to my colleagues on the ground from people, is that the federal government is not doing enough to help. Where are they? Where is the help? What is your message to those people?
I would say the following, that we are there, and we will continue to be there, and we will reach the most difficult to access locations. We are relentless in our efforts to ensure the safety and security of all.
You're relentless? It took you 7 days to get there. You could have gotten in your car in Washington, D.C. and driven there in less than 16 hours. And it took you 7 days to get there? What is the excuses for not being there for 7 days? When any human being, basically in the United States, you can drive. I actually have tested before because I hate to fly. I fly semi-regularly, but I don't like it. So I like to check. How long would it actually take me to drive there? Because I like to find an excuse. Like I checked it one time at a conference in Las Vegas. So I'm like, well, how long it take me to drive there? And it's like, you know, 37 hours or something like that. You know, I'm like, 37 hours. So basically, anybody in the United States could have driven there in a day. And it took the federal government 7 days to get there. And Alejandro Mayorkas says that they're relentless. They are relentless. They are there and they're going to stay there. They're doing nothing. Yeah, they're there all right, in body only. They're there in presence only. They're doing nothing and they're stopping people who are doing things from doing things. So they're trying to, just say right now, we are operating at 2% efficiency of what could be done there. They're stopping the 2%. And here's the thing. He's asking everybody once again, everybody is saying, again, find me one positive witness for the governmental response in Appalachia. Find me one. Find me one positive testimony in reference to the governmental response in Appalachia, in North Carolina, in Tennessee and Georgia. Find me one. I'll play it. I will. Honest, I'll play it. The only people who have a positive response to the government response in Appalachia is the government. We're there and we're relentless. Deny everything that you're seeing. We know you're dying. Deny that you're dying. No, you're not dying. Listen, dude, I can only go 3 days without water. No, you're not dying. That's what they ask you to do. It's like they do. We see the crime rate. We see the illegals everywhere. We see the illegal murders and the illegal rapes all over the news. We see the illegals all throughout our communities. Even here in Free Florida, everywhere. Undocumented immigrants everywhere. We see it. We see the gas prices. We see that there are no jobs, no real jobs. We see the hyperinflation, the unaffordable housing, the unaffordable groceries. And you have Harris and Biden come out and Mayorkas come out and say, no, no, prices are great. The economy's great and there's no crime and there's record low crime. We see record high crime and they're telling us from their bully pulpits, from their podiums, that there's no crime at all. All is well, like right out of Animal House. All is well. Deny everything you see, everything you hear, everything you feel. Deny it all. Because we're telling you as your betters that everything is perfectly fine. All right, go to the next one. Let me cover the Elon Musk angle of Helene, which if it wasn't so sad, it would actually be hysterically funny. Had the FCC not illegally revoked the SpaceX Starlink award, where would that award coming from? Aaron, can you guess? Where did that Starlink award come from? That came out of the $42 million. $42 billion? $42 billion.
Yep.
Allocated in 2021. So that all people in rural America could have the internet. Now, you can get the internet from Starlink, what they call a Starlink kit. You can get that for about $400
yep.
per hookup anywhere. All you need is electricity. $400. Aaron actually did the math the other night. I wonder how many $400 hookups you could get for $42 billion.
It was like $100
million. Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, like far more than what needed. Yeah. So, you could have got, and what actually stopped that from happening was fiber optic companies. Leave this up. Fiber optic companies came in and they said, we don't want this. And, you know, it's a big union with them. We don't want this. So make sure that Elon gets kicked out. And that didn't, and it also, of course, didn't hurt that Elon came out and was definitely listing hard right. And suddenly Elon just gets FCC illegally revokes his Starlink governmental award, his governmental portion of that $42 billion. Weird, isn't it? It would probably have saved lives in North Carolina. He's being sweet. It definitely would have saved lives in North Carolina. They just now are getting some measure of communications going on there. Many people, there's nothing. What if they had Starlink and a generator? They're communicating. And a lot of people have generators going because a lot of people did have a can of gas. All right, go to the next one for me. Alex tweet, FYI, North Carolina would have had 19,000 out of that 42 billion. Remember that? 19,000. Remember, Aaron said that it's about 100 million that 42 billion would have paid for. Working Starlink kits available today after Hurricane Helene had the FCC not revoked in bad faith the grant that was awarded. That was the word I was looking for. Grant that was awarded to SpaceX as the winning bidder. With Elon, all the infrastructure is already in place because SpaceX has already flown up the satellites. All you need is, I have it. I have Starlink. It's the greatest thing in the world. It is the greatest thing in the world. I don't care what anybody says. It is great. I put it up on my house. It's great. I mean, it rains a lot in Florida, and a lot of times on your satellite stuff, and you have your boxes and, you know, the antennas that are even your satellite dishes. It rains a lot. You start losing them. Starlink, man, it doesn't ever go out. It rarely, it has to be a torrential, absolute, just monster storm for it to cut out. It always says, all right, 20 seconds and we're cutting off of CTN. CTN, folks, is not cutting me off. They're not doing it. Don't send them any emails. They've gotten a bunch of emails, but they're not cutting me off. We're just going off. That's our time allotment that we pay for on CTN, and we're going off in 5 seconds. Switch over to Rumble. Watch the rest of the show. The rest of the show is only 12 minutes long. I'm done. 12 minutes. Well, everybody in here is laughing. I'm telling you, I'm done. 10 minutes. 12 minutes. Done. 12 minutes-ish. Ish. All right, I got to show you this one. Peter St. Ange does a great job. Go to the next one for me, Will. Peter St. Ange video. As Carolina hurricane rescuers desperately deploy Starlink terminals, it turns out the FCC blocked Elon Musk's Starlink from the $42.5 billion rural telecoms push 3 years ago. Hasn't connected a single person. Listen to this. Play for me.
In the wake of the deadliest hurricane in 35 years that knocked out the phone systems hampering rescue, emergency crews in the Carolinas are desperately deploying Starlink terminals to coordinate emergency responses and save lives. The kicker here is that these areas would have had fully operational communications. In fact, precisely 19,522 sites in North Carolina alone. But the FCC revoked a billion-dollar grant to deploy Starlink to thousands of rural communities. In short, because they did not like Elon Musk Tens of thousands are desperate, and dozens have died, perhaps with more to come. The story comes thanks to Natalie Danilishin, and the background here is in 2021, the Biden administration rolled out $42.5 billion in grants to pay for rural broadband. It was part of the Build Back Better Act, which was renamed the Inflation Reduction Act since that polled better. 3 years later, not a single person is connected. $42.5 billion. In fact, they're saying nobody will be connected until at least 2026. Why is nobody connected? Because fiber optics providers lobbied to exclude Elon Musk's Starlink so they could feast on the roughly $4,000 per connection. Just imagine how much profit is in digging fiber optic across miles of mountains, forests, into the most remote pockets of wilderness. Sure, a Starlink terminal could do it for a couple hundred bucks. In fact, Elon was quoting $120 per connection. But why do that when you can dump 30 times more taxpayer dollars into obsolete fiber? Hilariously, in rejecting Starlink's application to do it for $130 at the price, the FCC cited their, quote, responsibility to be a good steward of limited public funds. The Democrat FCC chair then went on to attack Starlink, accusing it of being a, quote, monopoly specifically because Elon managed to knock the price so low by doing the impossible, building a global constellation of satellites to provide worldwide cellular service that bypasses the trillions it would take digging fiber. Note the Kafka logic here. Build a better mousetrap, a 30x better mousetrap, when nobody else can and you are a monopolist, well, if you endorse Trump. To their credit, the Republicans on the FCC did support Starlink, criticizing the Biden-Harris administration for, quote, prioritizing its ideological goals at the expense of connecting Americans. Alas, they were outvoted. So beyond punishing millions of rural Americans to dunk on Elon, actually leaving them to die, why would the FCC's Democrats good steward $42.5 billion into oblivion? Simple, the Communications Workers of America, one of the biggest unions in the country that represents fiber installers and is one of the biggest donors to Democrats, giving at least $13 million per cycle between campaign contributions and political lobbying. So champagne for the socialist, boiling swamp water for the voters who pay for it. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. The good news is rural Americans will be getting broadband a lot faster in 2026 because they can buy it from Starlink. The bad news is you'll still have to pay $42.5 billion, so Verizon, AT&T, and the Communications Workers of America get to have nice things. One thing you can count on is come 2026, or maybe 2036 at this pace, when all those Alaskan cabins and vacation homes in Jackson Hole are finally wired up with obsolete fiber, the Democrats on the FCC and their pet oligarchs will be scrounging for their next $42.5 billion swindle. Okay, we'll be...
So there you go. And again, quoting Dan Bongino, what the federal government offers is yesterday's technology tomorrow. Yesterday's technology tomorrow. Let's just break down some of these numbers real quick. I won't reiterate too much of what Peter St. Ange said because I can't do it any better. But the Communication Workers of America Union are the ones who torpedoed Elon Musk being part of the $42.5 billion grant money. They torpedoed it, claiming that he was monopolistic. So his what they offer is fiber optics technology per home, $4,000 per home out of the $42 billion. And by the way, I've dealt with them before. It certainly wasn't 4,000 unless they had to dig the line to you. So in actuality, it was sort of in that realm if they had to dig the line to you. So $4,000 per home is what the Communication Workers of America offered via fiber optic technology. Elon Musk, $120 per home. And far better technology, directly hooked up to his fiber optics, goes to many different lines to go to one satellite. Elon Musk, every unit's pointed at a satellite. That's why they never go out. $120 per house, but instead the government chooses $4,000 per house and then never does any houses. Nobody ended up getting, not one house got any fiber optics. They didn't get Starlink. They didn't get fiber optics. They got nothing. So you can go both ends of it. You can talk about how ridiculous it was that the FCC torpedoed Elon Musk, which is absolutely ridiculous, at $120 a house. And they chose and said $4,000 a house, but they then chose to hook nobody up to the internet. And where's the $42.5 billion? It was outlaid in 2021. It is the end of 2024. Where's the $42.5 billion? Certainly didn't go to Elon Musk. And now people legitimately have died because of the Democratic Party. And again, the communication workers, again, the endless symbiote, the nonstop circle bleep, the communication workers of America have given so far $13 million to the Democrats. So they get a $42.5 billion grant, just like Jewish charities and Catholic charities. The NGOs at the border get tens of billions of dollars of the 80, 100, whatever billion dollar, but no, it's like $200 billion DHS budget. They get hundreds of millions of that, or even billions of it, that then are recirculated back into the Democratic Party to elect the officials that fund them year after year. So it goes the funders to the fundees, and then the fundees fund the funders, and then the funders fund the fundees over and over. Symbiote circle bleeping. That's all that that's what this entire country is. As George Carlin said, there's a giant party and you and I are not invited. Simple as that. All right, Paul A. Cipulla video. Biden's FEMA just bent the knee to Elon Musk. Here's a FEMA spokesman. Play for me.
We're also very focused on restoring communications capabilities. FEMA, the FCC, and private telecommunications providers are working together to help restore temporary communications as quickly as possible by establishing temporary cell sites and allowing for roaming where possible, where a resident can connect to any network available, even if they aren't subscribed to that network. Today, FEMA will install 30 Starlink receivers in Western North Carolina to provide immediate connectivity for those in greatest need.
I've also directed the development of deployment of Starlink satellites. 50 are in place right now. More are going to be put in place so people in places like Canton can call for help and reach the ones that loved ones who they're not sure with anybody other than that phone because of no cell service.
Anybody available to do a Biden translation out there? Because I have no idea what the freaking guy just said. But anyway, they all bent the knee to Starlink. So they do all, again, they end up doing what they chose not to do, but after people died. Typical Democratic Party. Typical Democratic Party. So they always do, too, with their responses later on, like all the rats leaving the ship right now, talking about how horrible the vaccines are, the Redfields of the world, the Birxes of the world, and everybody else now coming out and saying how horrible the vaccines are. They're the rats leaving the ship, but after everybody's dead. They try to fix things after everybody's dead. They're not even trying to fix things. They don't care about anything but themselves. I was talking about Donald Trump only cares about themselves, about himself. You know the reason why they say Donald Trump only cares about themselves? Because it's a reflection of them. The only thing they care about is themselves. So they come out now. Now they're hooking up 60 Starlink sites. You could have had 19,000 in that area, in North Carolina alone. 19,000 of them. This allotment of money was put out, this $42.5 billion was put out in 2021. 19,000 kits alone in North Carolina. Well, how many would have been in Tennessee? How many would have been in Georgia? So we would have had, let's just say, 150,000, 200,000. Everybody could communicate. Everybody could send, we are up here. We are lacking oxygen. My dad needs an oxygen bottle. My aunt needs insulin. We have no water. It could all be communicated right now, but instead people are dying instead. So here come the Democrats doing what they should have done before, but now after everybody's dead. That's typical Democratic Party. Oh, you know, now Kamala wants to close the border. She says she wants to close the border. Now she wants to build a wall after everybody's already dead. 250,000 people have died of fentanyl poisoning. 325,000 kids are missing. Now you want to build a wall after everybody's already dead and missing? Typical Democratic Party. All right, well, I'm going to challenge you here. We're going to skip ahead. I don't want to do that. Everybody's seen the Israeli stuff. I'm not going to go at it again. I'm going to show you some polls before we go. It's 10:08. My goal is to be done in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. All right, skip ahead, Will. Go to Harry Enten for me. Trump has more working class support. Oh, man, that was fast. Will, man. Well, it's getting tight on this stuff, man. I can't make fun of him anymore.
Getting tight.
He's taking away some of my jokes now. He's getting so good, it's hard to meet, hard to pick on him now.
He's a good boy over there.
You know, Aaron, tell him about the rewards that he can get down in the basement.
You can get some popsicles. I'm going to give them to you. They're in my freezer down in the cellar.
Maybe they're in your, are they in your pockets? Could they be?
They could be in my pockets if you want to come check for them.
Hey, is that Tim Waltz? That's Tim Waltz. Is that Tim Waltz? Tim Waltz is in the room. Tim Waltz is in the room.
Hi there, Tom.
Where's your horse?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of horses. I like to ride them. I like to, well, I'll just leave that to your imagination.
Somebody's responding, cherry popsicles. Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, cherry.
Alpha Acres, I'm still staying with 1017. Why not me? It's 1020, 1009. I got 1 minute. Still got 1 minute. You guys don't trust me. Oh, I don't even have 1 minute now.
No, it's 10-10. Oh, it's over.
Right, let me show you this. Let me show you this. Harry Anton, Trump has more working class support. Play it for me, Will.
Data points that just jump off the screen should set off sirens. All right, this is union households. This is Democratic margin in presidential election. It ain't what it used to be. You know, you go back to 1992, Bill Clinton won that union vote by 30 points. Hillary Clinton only won it by 12 points back in 2016. That was the lowest mark for a Democrat since 1984, Mondale versus Reagan. But look at where Kamala Harris is today. She's only leading by 9 points. That would be the worst Democratic performance in a generation. 10 points off the mark of Joe Biden, who of course won 4 years ago, who is sort of that union guy, Union Joe, right? Won it by 19 points. She's 10 points off his mark, and the worst in a generation, if this, in fact, holds, Sarah.
It is interesting to note that the difference between this and this, and Biden still won.
Still won.
But those numbers are significantly down. All right, talk to me about manual labor, those folks who went to trade schools.
Yeah, those folks who use their hands. I think a lot of people oftentimes conflate the union vote with those who use their hands. Mike Rowe, of course, has been arguing more people should go to trade schools, more people should get a vocational degree. Look at this margin. This, wow, to me, oh boy, does this tell you about the state of our politics now versus back in the early 1990s. Margin among vocational and trade school grads in pre-election polling. Bill Clinton was leading that vote over George H.W. Bush by 7 points. Look at where Donald Trump is today over Kamala Harris, a 31-point advantage. When I think people think of the working class, they think of people who use their hands, and we know that Donald Trump has been going after that vote, and he is in a very, very strong position, more so perhaps than any other bloc, the folks who go to trade school, vocational school. That has moved from being a core Democratic group to now being a core group of Donald Trump's massive amount of support among the working class.
All right, let's move on to voters of color. And there's a very specific group that you looked at. And what are you saying, Dan?
Yeah, you know, we've been noting on this program, right, that Donald Trump seems to have been having some real impact among voters of color, getting into that traditional Democratic support. And I was very interested to see this because we're talking about the working class, right? So this is the margin among non-college graduates, all right, the voters of color. You go back 4 years ago, look at that. Joe Biden won that group by 45 points. Look at where Kamala Harris's support is today. She's still leading amongst that group, but that lead is down 17 points to just 28 points. And I will note that the margin among voters of color who actually graduate college has only been changed by 5 points. 5 points compared to 4 years ago. The reason Donald Trump is doing so well amongst voters of color is because he has really gone in and grabbed a lot of voters that he didn't previously have among those who didn't graduate college. And this is part of a larger trend that we're seeing throughout our politics era in which Republicans, specifically Donald Trump, is doing very, very well among working class voters, whether they were in unions, whether they went to trade school, or whether they're voters of color. The fact is Donald Trump seems to have gone into a hotbed of traditional Democratic support and made a lot of movement in ways I don't think a lot of people would have thought when he went down that escalator just back in 2015.
And by the way, this was pre-VP debate, and Donald Trump is said to be up at least another point today on this. Clinton, in union support, Clinton was plus 30 over Herbert Walker Bush. Plus 30. Kamala Harris in union support is plus 9. 21-point loss. And a 10-point loss off of what Biden had for union support. Non-college graduates of color, Kamala is down 17 points in support. Trade school graduates, Kamala, I'm trying to see, as I can't read my own writing on that one. I can't read my own writing. But anyway, way down, and trade school graduates also way down. Something like, Donald Trump has a 31-point, go here it is. I know I can read my writing, I just figured it out. Donald Trump is a 31-point lead over Kamala Harris for trade school graduates. Clinton had a 7-point lead over Bush. So it's totally flipped parties and total and just total. And not only is it's flipped parties completely, both in lead and in all numbers. So trade school graduates, Donald Trump is a 31-point lead, and the Democrats used to have a 7-point lead. So they've lost all their lead. I mean, imagine Clinton had his nice 7-point lead. That is a 38-point loss. This is cataclysmic stuff. Absolutely cataclysmic stuff. Watch this one. Trump War Room video, NBC poll. Play it for me.
We see every 4 years the Latino vote becomes a bigger and bigger share of the overall electorate. Well, among Latinos, our poll shows Kamala Harris leading Donald Trump 54-40%. Now, for some context, this is a little bit better for Democrats than they were doing among Hispanics when Joe Biden was their candidate. But I think the bigger story here is historically, 54-40 now is a 14-point advantage for the Democrats. Take a look back at the last three presidential elections, and these were the results. In the exit polls among Hispanic voters, that 14, look at that cut there, almost 20 points less than just 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, we were saying Donald Trump had made inroads with Hispanic voters. This suggests that that has continued apace.
So Democrats used to have an Hispanic advantage of 44%. Now they have a Hispanic advantage of 14%. Look how far it went in 4 years. Just in 2020, they had a 33%, basically sort of stayed within 10 points. For all of those years from 2012 to 2020, and then from 2020 to 2024, in only 4 years, so 2012 to 2020, they held a 30 to 40% advantage over Republicans. And in only 4 years, it went from 33% advantage in Hispanic voters to 14%. What is that? Oh, the Biden-Harris administration. And by the way, I just reading off of one of these last ones, Eric Doherty tweet. Democrats have plummeted. Do you have the next one, Will? Yeah, put that up there for me. Democrats, I want to show you all the good news. Trump gets a 6-point lead in latest dollar tracker. Look at the date on the bottom. That's still way before the debate. Right after his debate, this was. Right after his debate. Oh, that's not the right one. That's a different one. I need the breaking. Democrats have plummeted 61.6%. Do you have that one? Okay. All right. Well, that one is they used to have a major advantage. Democrats have plummeted 61.6% in vote by mail. So a lot, basically, and by the way, everyone needs to be voting early. They're like, it goes against my principles too. I understand that. It goes against my principles too. But everybody needs to vote early because we cannot depend on day of voting because they're gonna bring forth some sort of calamity. Oh, the printers aren't working. All the machines that aren't hooked up to the internet aren't working because the internet's down. That's what they're going to say on day of. Hey, Will, you still hooked in here? Go to EJ Antoni real quick. EJ Antoni tweet. It's about three up from where we are right now. There you go. I just wanted to show you this because I talked about it earlier in the show. Here it is. Federal debt explodes. I'm kind of ending on a sad note when I was saying positive things. This is why we need Trump in. Trump's doing great in the polls. Federal debt explodes on first day of new fiscal year, which is today. Jumping $204 billion to new record, $35.669 trillion. But it gets worse. Treasury also had to draw down its cash balance by $72 billion. That's over $275 billion in the red for just day one. We went $275 billion in debt today. Explain that. I would love any leftist or any rhino establishment Republican like Mike Johnson to explain to me the virtue of that. Please, I'd love to hear it. All right, that's it. 10:18. That's it. 10:18. So, appreciate you guys. Oh, Rumble Rants. Texas Billy, $50. Thank you so much, brother. Love you. Thank you for all you're doing for me. Jayana Jones, $10. Tammy L. Margaret, every single night, $10. Thank you so much. Knit Sal, $99. I got to meet here at the church. Appreciate you guys so much. $10 from Knit Sal. Appreciate you guys. I'll be in the chat during the post game. The winning number is 10:18. That's the winning number. I was only off by 8 minutes, but I'll be in the chat during the post game. Stick around for it. Post game is awesome. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Those Christians though don't pass the test, and instead they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology, and didn't pass the test. But you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter 1:10. Not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are Really, the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years and you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.